Senate will be until our guests arrive. We wanted you to be all in your chair and ready. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Senate will come to order. Members of the Senate, we are honored this afternoon to be joined by two distinguished state residents and constituents of Senator Grant Larson's. Upon their return to Wyoming, please join me in giving a warm welcome to Dick Cheney, former Vice President of the United States, and his wife, Lynn. We consider it an honor to have the privilege of being one of the first to welcome you home from Washington to Wyoming. The Senate have prepared a resolution recognizing your half century of service to this state and our country that our reading clerk will now read.
A resolution of the Senate of the 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming. A resolution recognizing the Honorable Dick Cheney, former Vice President of the United States, United States Secretary of Defense, Wyoming Congressman and White House Chief of Staff, and Lynn Cheney, former Chairman of the National Endowments for the Humanities, renowned author, teacher at the University of Wyoming and Casper College, and a native daughter of Wyoming, welcoming them home to Wyoming and expressing deep appreciation for their service to our country and state. Be it resolved by the Senate of the 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Dick and Lynn Cheney have served the United States of America and Wyoming with honor and distinction during the past 5 decades. And whereas Dick was born in Lincoln, Nebraska and grew up in Casper, and Lynn and Vincent was born in Casper and both attended Natrona County High School. And whereas Dick earned his Bachelor and Master's of Arts degree from the University of Wyoming and completed doctoral degree coursework at the University of Wisconsin, and Lynn earned her Bachelor of Arts degree with highest honors from Colorado College, her Master of Arts from the University of Colorado, and her PhD with a specialization in 19th century British literature from the University of Wisconsin. And whereas Dick began his path of lifelong public service as an intern here in the Wyoming legislature, and we hope that his experience will serve as an inspiration for the interns serving with us today to consider their own path of public service. And whereas Dick married his high school sweetheart, Lynn, in 1964, and they have 2 grown daughters, Elizabeth and Mary, along with 3 granddaughters and 3 grandsons, who bring them great joy. And whereas Dick joined the Nixon administration in 1969, serving in a number of positions at the Cost of Living Council, at the Office of Economic Opportunity, and then served under General Gerald Ford as a member of his transition team, and later as Deputy Assistant to the President and White House Chief of Staff. And whereas Dick was elected to serve as Wyoming's lone congressman in the United States House of Representatives in 1977 and was reelected five times to this post, and was elected to serve as chairman of the Republican Policy Committee from 1981 to 1987. And whereas Dick served as Secretary of Defense from March 1989 to January 1993, directing two of the largest military campaigns in recent history. Whereas, after spending time in the private sector at Halliburton, Dick served as the Vice President of the United States under President George W. Bush from January 2000 to January 2009, becoming the only Wyoming resident to ever hold the second highest office in the land. Whereas Lynn has also enjoyed a remarkable career, serving as the chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities from 1986 to 1983, publishing a report during her tenure warning about the failure of schools to transmit knowledge of the past to upcoming generations. Whereas Lynn's love for history has led her to educate countless of Americans through the 12 books she has authored or co-authored, including five best-selling books about American history for children and their families, with well over a million copies of these books in print. And whereas Lynn has donated a portion of the proceeds from the sale of her children's books to charity and established the James Madison Book Award in April of 2003, which has annually presented a $10,000 award to the author of a book that best represents excellence in bringing knowledge and understanding of American history to young people. And whereas Dick and Lynn Cheney have donated over $3 million to the University of Wyoming to help establish the Cheney Center for International Studies, reflecting their lifelong dedication to education generally and higher education specifically. Whereas the Wyoming legislature recognizes that the strength of our local communities, the service of the to the success of the state of Wyoming and the vitality of American society depend upon the dedication of citizens like the Cheneys, who use their considerable talents to unselfishly serve others, and that we encourage Wyoming residents to continue their tradition of public service. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the Senate of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming, Section 1, that we express our profound sense of gratitude to Dick and Lynn Cheney for their service to Wyoming and the United States of America. Section 2, that we welcome Dick and Lynn home, invite them to lay their heavy burdens down and fish and write to their heart's content. Section 3, that Dick and Lynn are now back home in the cowboy state among friends and family, and the Wyoming legislature wishes them well in this new chapter of their lives. Signed on this, the 21st day of January 2009, Senate President John Hines.
Well, thanks, John.
To both of you, and welcome back, Jim, and both of you. Thank you. Okay.
Whichever one works. This one will work. Dick nominated me to go first to just express our profound gratitude. What a wonderful welcome home. What a great opportunity to see so many people who we've, some of whom we've known for a very long time, and some of whom are new to the enterprise of public service that Dick and I both took up so long ago. I'll have to say that being from Wyoming has been a constant base through times that were often chaotic and full of turmoil. There is something so solid and strong about the values that run through Wyoming, about the sense that, well, if it needs to be done, we can do it. And it's a wonderful, I don't know, it's almost as though, you know, we know that experts don't know it all. That if we see a problem, we'll listen. But we know that good common sense and good strong values, this foundation that we all grew up with in Wyoming, is what is truly essential. So it's a special honor for both of us to be here today. And I will cede the floor to my husband, whom I've introduced many times, but seldom under such wonderful circumstances. So thank you for inviting us here.
Well, thank you very much. This obviously means a great deal to Lynn and myself. We, as I sit here on the floor of the Senate and think back to what I was doing 44 years ago, was my very first political job, the first exposure I had to politics and public policy in terms of a participant at a very low level. I was an intern, and in those days we only had one intern in the Senate, one intern in the House. There was no legislative service organization. And I sat over on the bench over here and watched all the sessions and in effect was drafted by Dick Tobin from Casper, who was then the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and did a great deal of the work that went through on this body. But to hark back on that experience and also during that session watching Vice President Hubert Humphrey come address a joint session of the Wyoming Legislature. So we've got a lot of memories when we come back to this part of the world and come back specifically to Cheyenne and to the state capitol and to the state senate. It's been an enormous privilege for us to have that opportunity to serve over the years. We've loved every minute of it. It's been, it's been our life experience, if you will, and none of it would have happened if it hadn't been for the trust and the confidence that the people of Wyoming placed in us. They made all this possible. And our ability to participate in some historic events over the course of the last 40 years now in our nation's capital has been due in no small part to a lot of friends all across Wyoming who made that possible. So we thank you very, very much for the courtesy you've extended to us today. We love being home, and we will never forget the honor and the tribute that you paid to us today. So thank you very much.
Dick and Lynn, it's a pleasure to have you back in Wyoming. Enjoy your well-earned rest and come back and see us. The Senate will stand at ease. Just remain at your desk for a couple of minutes because I think the staff have a couple of things to get ready so we can go back into session. messages from the House.
January the 21st, 2009, from the House of Representatives, Mr. President. Message number 108, third reading passed. The bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 4, Game and Fish, Immunocontraceptives, ayes 32, noes 7, excused 1. House Bill 50, Tax Sales Cost, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. House Bill number 79, Mortgages, Redemption Period, ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. January the 21st, 2009, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 9, Subdivisions, Cluster Developments, ayes 53, no 6, excused 1. House Bill number 11, Dogs Chasing Wildlife, ayes 40, noes 19, excused 1. House Bill number 22, Qualifications for Veterans Tax Exemption, ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. House Bill number 10, Subdivisions Requirements, ayes 50, noes 9, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 21st, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 37, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, President, or Chairman.
Considerations of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business. Considerations of bills on general file.
Mr. President, before I make the necessary motion to resolve ourselves back into the Committee of the Whole, I just want the body to know a bit in regard to what my intention is. We would like to get several bills back through the Committee of the Whole today. We'll most certainly adjourn by 4 because I know many of you have plans for the evening. We'll work pretty hard tomorrow to try to get as many things through Committee of the Whole as possible. Really what my intention is to try to, if you will, gain some slack for the weekend. We've had some committees working very, very hard, particularly those folks on appropriations. And so if we can get some extra time, that would give them a little more time on Friday if they chose to work or if they chose to take some time off, that would allow for that. So having said that, Mr. President, I would now move that the Senate resolve itself back into the Committee of the Whole.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Burns.
Committee of the Whole will come back to order. Please come back to order. Next bill up for our consideration is Senate File 53. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File number 53, sponsored by Senator Jennings, Property Tax Deferral Program, and Act Relating to Taxation and Revenue. It was referred to Committee number 3, Revenue, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Larson, Martin, Perkins, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Schiffer?
Do so with a due pass recommendation for Senate File 53. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
There seems to be some confusion about the standing committee amendment up here.
Do you have it? He doesn't.
We're going to lay this bill back and go to the next bill. There is a problem with the standing committee amendment up at the desk.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
We'll get that straightened out. We'll go on to the next bill for now. Next bill up for consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File Number 36, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Intentional feeding of elk. An act relating to elk and disease transmission to livestock. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the Senate file. What's your pleasure,
Mr.
Senator Geis?
When the Committee of the Whole ride and report, I move that Senate File 36 do pass, and I yield the floor to Senator Johnson to explain the bill.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that everybody here is aware that elk give brucellosis to cattle, and that Wyoming has had problems in the past with being a brucellosis-free state. We have a problem in the western part of the state with some of the landowners out there that they like to see the elk feeding on their land with their cattle. And when that's brought to their attention that could cause a problem for the state of Wyoming, they say, I don't care if my cattle get brucellosis. But, of course, if their cattle are diagnosed with brucellosis, we lose our brucellosis-free status. And there's nothing anybody can do about it right now. They can have 10 head of cattle and put out a truckload of hay and lure the elk out for a pretty decent meal with their herd. We've received testimony from Game and Fish as well as the Department of Agriculture about them telling these landowners about this, and the landowners just saying, so what? That's not our problem. Okay, page 1, line starting at line 12, it's a pretty simple bill. No person shall intentionally attract or feed any elk by depositing, placing, distributing, or scattering feed that results in commingling with the livestock. This would be enforced by Game and Fish because the wardens are out there in those areas, and they're the ones that can see that this happens. The penalty is a high misdemeanor, and a high misdemeanor, if I read right, in 236202, little a, little double I, up to $10,000 up to 1 year. So page 2 gives a list where nothing in this section shall prohibit any normal or accepted agricultural management practices, any elk feeding program authorized or conducted by the department, any legal form of taking elk, any feeding of elk for the purpose of reducing the opportunity for contact with livestock, and any feeding of elk outside the designated elk surveillance area. So it's a pretty simple bill, Mr. Chairman, and they very much need it so that we can keep brucellosis-free status, and I stand ready for questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion to, all in favor of Senator Geis's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File 36, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 36 has passed Committee of the Whole. Before we go to the next bill, I'm going to take a point of personal privilege. Those of us who have been on this floor for a number of years recognize an old friend of ours. He's served us for many years until he retired, and I just noticed him up in the balcony, Mr. Foy Jolly. Welcome, Foy. Welcome back. The next Senate file to come before the Committee of the Whole is Senate File 48, Game and Fish Landowner Coupon Redemption Period. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File Number 48, sponsored by Senator Anderson, Game and Fish Landowner Coupon Redemption Period. An act relating to game and fish. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. It reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Cole, Dockstader, Session, excuse Senator Jennings, Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Jennings?
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask they do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 48. I would at this time like to move the amendment and turn the description over to Majority Floor Leader Anderson.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm always hesitant to call any bill simple, so I'll say this is one of the probably the most, one of the least complicated bills that I've ever carried. The Game and Fish Landowner Coupon Redemption Period, for information of, for those of you who may not be familiar with this, every private landowner who has wildlife or huntable game on their properties has the opportunity, particularly with elk and deer and some of the larger species. When you are able to harvest, say, an elk or a deer on the land of a private landowner, there is attached to the license a coupon, which you give to the landowner, and then they can redeem for a small payment from the Game and Fish for their stewardship of those animals. In my particular district, south of Glenrock, south of Douglas, west of Wheatland, Area 7, has over the years accumulated a considerable population of elk. Traditionally and normally, that hunting season was in November and sometimes in October, but as winters seem to be somewhat milder, they opted to extend that season on into the following January. So when they found out by extending that season into January, as you see, on the bill that's attached, there's just the bill amends one word in the text, and Section 23105 of that section of law having to do with antelope, deer, and elk coupons payment to the landowner, you'll see on line 14 of page 1, the deadline for redeeming those coupons for the landowner was February 1st. Well, if they carried that season then through January, and someone got an elk on January 31st, that coupon had to be in February 1st. That obviously presented a problem to the landowner in getting those coupons redeemed. So really, what this bill did was just a one-word change, changing that redemption date from February 1st to March 1st, allowing then 30 days after the close of the season for the landowner to redeem the coupon. And in doing that, the Standing Committee amendment, which I think has already been moved, was on the line just below that, line 15. It says, the landowner on or before, and as the law has changed, March 1, following the year for which the license was valid. Well, if you move that hunting period and utilize that license into another year, that term valid is no longer valid, so to speak. So they ask that we change the word valid to issued. And, Mr. Chairman, that change there is the essence of the entire amendment. So the amendment having been moved, I would ask that we call for the question for that amendment, which simply changes the word valid, line 15, to the word issued.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, the amendment's been moved, but it hasn't been read in. So if the reading clerk
could
read it in.
Okay, could have that amendment read in, please.
Senate File 48, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 14.
And with that, I then call for the question on the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions or remarks on the Standing Committee Amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The Standing Committee Amendment has passed.
I would then call your attention back to the bill. Simple one-word change, changing the word February to March 1 in order to enable them to have additional time for the redemption of the coupon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions or remarks on the bill? Seeing none, having the question been called, all those in favor of Senator Jennings' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 48, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 48 has passed Committee of the Whole. We were going to go back to Senate File 53. I believe that the Standing Committee Amendment has been distributed. If I'm mistaken, raise your hand. Everybody has that Standing Committee Amendment? Has it been, Senator Schiffer, have you moved the Senate Committee Standing Amendment yet?
Mr. Chairman, I ask that it be read in, which I believe is what we do first, and then I move it.
Would the reading clerk please read the Standing Committee Amendment?
Senate File 53, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 21.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move Standing Committee 1 to Senate File 53 and yield the floor to the sponsor of the bill to deal with both the Standing Committee and Senate File 53 to Senator Jennings.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd like to go over the bill, and I'll bring the amendment in when we get to that part of the bill. First, what I've done here is this is a current statute, and all I did is go in and make a few changes. But there's a couple of things that you should know about this deferment statute. Right now, it's on the books, and you are mean tested to use it. Currently, I believe 3 counties have chosen to use this, and about 5 or 6 people in the state have chosen to use it. It's a very underutilized statute. It's an excellent way to defer property tax on your residents. It doesn't cost the state any money. It just sets the money aside when the home changes ownership or title. There's a tax lien on the house. The state gets paid back for the money that's been deferred plus 4%. Currently, and not taking it out or change the statute, the county commissioners have to go back and and put up the administration or the process to do this deferment. If as they do it, there will be a lien on the property. The interest on that, as I said, was 4%, plus on the deferral, if the county does decide to adopt rules on this, they do have to turn those rules into the revenue department. They have to be approved and go back. So there is a check and balance on it. Now, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go into the bill and show where we've made the changes. First change on your bill is page 2, line 6. Currently, the statute reads 150% of the federal poverty level for a household of 4. You should have a handout that looks like this, except mine's prettier because it's in color. And you'll notice on there, a family of 4 at 250% is $53,000. So that moves that up. So what I've done here is I've taken that 150% back up a little bit, and change that to 250%, and the 250 would equal the 53,000. They, as you go through the bill, you look at line 13, and this is the owner is qualified under this subparagraph for his primary residence if, and I'd like to point out as we go through each one of these ifs, that these are ors and not ands. The first one is that the owner's affidavit adequately demonstrates limited income as defined in paragraph, subparagraph M above. That would be the 250% or the $53,000 a year. The line 22, currently, the change that I had in there, the owner is a person over the age of 62 years and has been a resident of this state for 8 years or more. Mr. Chairman, this is where the Standing Committee Amendment comes in. What the amendment was, and I think it was a very good amendment by the committee, is we struck the new language in there, and has been a resident of this state for 8 years or more, so that the paragraph now would read, the owner is a person of the age of 62 years. Opens it quite a bit. So if you can hit the age of 62, you have the ability to defer your property tax. Mr. Chairman, at this point, I'd like to call for the question on the amendment.
Any questions or remarks on the amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor? I'm sorry. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 53, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 53 has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to thank the committee. That was a good addition, I believe. On page 3, line 1, again, we've just renumbered the original language and put in there, the owner is a handicapped person as determined by the Social Security Administration. So if the Social Security Administration says you're handicapped, you can defer your property tax. Line 5, all we did was renumber. It says current statute says the owner purchased the property at least 10 years prior to the beginning of the tax year for which he's applying for the deferral. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we've done here is we've really opened the gate on this deferral program. The only thing that I've heard that anybody has a problem with it is that there's a lien on your tax lien on your residence, and that tax lien is primary, and that when you change ownership, it will be paid. If personally, I'm stealing this from one of the committee members, but I happen to agree that if the person is in bad enough shape that he needs to defer his property tax, then he should be willing to take that lien. And know that when it's paid off, it'd be paid off with the 4% interest. If they're not willing to put the lien on there, then they're obviously not in that bad of shape, and they don't need this program. I did learn in the committee meeting that there is a fund right now in place at the Revenue Department with, I believe the number was around $4 million, to heal the county for the deferment of the taxes. I believe that as this happens, what you'll see with the program is that you'll see people come into it. They want to use that money out of the Revenue Department to balance out they can. And then in 3 to 5 years, I think you're going to see as many people come out of the program by changing ownership of the house as you have coming in. And when that happens, it's a wash, that you're not really losing revenue. You're just out here, you're offsetting it with this that's going back out, and you're getting the money back with the 4% interest. Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions on what I think is probably the easiest and the least expensive way to help property tax relief so far this year.
Questions regarding the bill? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question for the sponsor. I was just curious what kind of feedback you might have gotten from the counties and as to why only two or three counties have even adopted the program.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, my colleague from Casper, if you look at the way that the program's set up right now, the maximum you can be is 150% over poverty level, and then you have to qualify for one of these others. It's not an or, it's an and. So you have to be 150% V62, and that paragraph was put together with the handicap. You'd have to be 62 years and handicapped or a handicapped person. So we really have a narrow window of opportunity to use it as it is now. And I think that that's one of the biggest reasons. I think another reason is that, as I was talking to counties, and I didn't even realize the fund was there to put some money back in there until the kind chairman of revenue brought it up. But if that fund's there, then that would take the other worry out. But I think the biggest problem is it was too tight, and there wasn't enough people that could really qualify under the current statute to get in there and use this program.
Any other questions? Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up to that question, what about the special districts out there as well? Over and above what happens to the counties, you know, you got fire districts, hospital districts, and I could go on and on. There's districts forever out there if you think about it. But any input about the special districts, particularly fire and hospital?
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, no. Hadn't had that question, and I would imagine that I would defer that back to the county commissioners when they put their administration of this bill together.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, to respond to the question, the way that account is set up in the budget, it does reimburse counties. You recall, special districts have a mill levy, and it reimburses them for the full mill levy on that property. Presumably, the county commissioners pass that money on through, although, as we all know, Park County is real close to Montana, and we never know what they're going to do. But the other 22, they bought into it.
Any other questions or remarks? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, question for the sponsor or anybody else that knows. Page 1, line 14, the fourth word on that line, could you tell me, one, how it's pronounced, and two, what it means?
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure, but it kind of distraughts me that I can't tell you what distraint means. So I guess we'd have to go look it up. That's in current statute. And I tried very hard not to change a whole lot of current statute to accomplish this.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's pronounced distraint, and it's the act or actions of distraining.
Thank you for clearing that up, Senator Von Flatern.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would assume, but I'm not sure. Does the owner also apply to a husband and wife? What are the definitions for owner?
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to go back and dig that out, Mr. Chairman. I believe I did run across that in existing statute, but just off the top of my head, I would say whoever's name is on the title, that's who the owner is. But I'll make an attempt to go back in and dig through that and see if I can come up with a better answer by tomorrow, if it makes it till tomorrow.
Just make sure you don't strain your distraint. Any other questions? Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, we just had a couple of bills relating to banking up there, and could you tell me, since there is going to be a tax lien on the property, where does that fall into previous liens, such as a mortgage? Is that since it is a tax lien, is that junior two or senior two or so on, just as a point of clarification for a mortgage or a workman's lien?
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, that is a good question. Currently in the statute, it says any deferral of collection of taxes granted by the Board of County Commissioners shall constitute a perpetual tax lien against the property pursuant to WS 3913108D with priority over any other lien.
Senator Larson.
Therefore, could you be creating a situation where they go in and they apply for a deferment of the taxes, their home is mortgaged, and then that lien keeps building up and building up, and then theoretically all of that takes priority over their mortgage, and what happens then in the event of a default? The financial institution then has to pay off that tax lien, I'm assuming, in order to satisfy the mortgage, and is that how I'm hearing it work?
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. As a practical matter, what's going to happen is your mortgage, particularly if you have a residential mortgage, requires that you pay your taxes every year. Your residential mortgage is obviously collect, and the dollars in your TNI, your trust and income, or your interest, your taxes and interest account, and or taxes and insurance account, and they're going to pay it. So you're not going to be eligible. You're not going to be able to. You're eligible, but it's not going to be available to you if you have a mortgage on the property. It's just it's only going to help people that don't have residential mortgage. If you had a commercial loan that does not collect or if you're buying the house on a contract for deed, you may create the instance where you're going to have to contract it, and if you're the lender, you're going to have to either require that be collected or pay, or you're going to have to assist on it. But that's just a trap. That's a problem that mortgagees have to deal with anyway.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a little further into existing statute, you're only able to claim up to one half of the market value of the home. So when you start to run into taxes on this, when you actually start playing with the numbers, you take the tax, and if you're going to do 100% deferral, by the time you get that out there, you've got a whole bunch of years till you get to that halfway mark. But if you can get to the halfway mark, then you probably could have a situation like that. And that's something that, as the good senator from Laramie pointed out, that's something you'd have to work out with your mortgage company.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, just as a matter of point of information, I went back and asked staff, in regard to the question offered by the good senator from Natrona County, line 14, the word distraint has to do with the seizure or synonymous with the seizure of property.
Thank you for clearing that up. Any other questions regarding this bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that do so the favorable recommendation of Senate File 53, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 53 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill up for consideration is Senate File 8. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File Number 8, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Feral Livestock, an act relating to feral livestock. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources. It reports back with the favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman.
heard the reading of the Senate file. What's your pleasure, Senator Geis?
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, I move Senate File 8 do pass. There's a standing committee amendment I'd like to have read in.
Senate File 8, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 2.
And I'd also move that standing committee amendment. I'm going to yield the floor to Senator Bebout.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, this issue of feral livestock was brought to the attention of the Agriculture Committee by the Livestock Board, who had been working with Game and Fish on this issue. And the concern is that there are some, and particularly swine and goats, that there are some feral swine and goats that are out there in our state, and there are some in other states that may come to our state. And with that, they create a potential problem, and that is the carrying of diseases. And the reason that Game and Fish is involved is because of the feral goats and the disease they might cause to the bighorn sheep, which is very important to our state. And the feral swine would be domestic livestock, and, of course, the goats would be domestic livestock as well. That's the purpose of the bill, and what it does is it goes in and creates some new statutes. And if you look at the bill, you'll see that it's in Title 11, which is the agriculture, livestock, and other animals title of our laws. And they're creating two new sections. And the first part, Mr. Chairman, is the definition section. If you look on page 2, lines 1 through 14 are definitions. And, of course, I think what's important is the definition of feral, but we're talking about the Livestock Board being involved with this and implementing it, not the Game and Fish. Then we start on line 15, 1148-102, the destruction of feral livestock. And members of the Senate, what this does, it sets up a procedure and how, in fact, the Livestock Board would deal with it if, in fact, it determines that there are some feral livestock out there that present a risk to the state of Wyoming. And, Mr. Chairman, at this point in time, the Standing Committee Amendment on page 3, what we heard in the committee was some concern that we ought to give the benefit of the livestock owner a little more time to, in fact, be able to try to find them so they could deal with their livestock or with the feral animals. And we took the 3 days and extended that to 7 days. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call for the question on that amendment unless there's some other discussion.
Any discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 8, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment has passed. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if you continue to read on page 3, you can see the procedure we have set up for the Livestock Board to, in fact, deal with the issue of feral livestock on private. Now, it does deal with both private lands and public lands. And obviously, in some certain areas, they may ask for the destruction of that livestock. One of the questions that came up in front of the committee was about wild horses, and I will tell you that this does not affect wild horses. Under our Wyoming laws, currently under 1131.15, it's against the law to kill wild horses. So it does not interfere or deal in that issue, in that situation in any way, shape, or form. The other thing I would call to the attention of the body is that on page 4, this act is effective immediately, that the Livestock Board, Game and Fish, thought there might be some concerns about that, and we'd like to have the ability to get started right away if this becomes law. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Geis's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 8, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. Senate File 8 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file up for our consideration is Senate File 42. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File Number 42, sponsored by the Local Government Committee, Select Committee on Local Government Financing, an act relating to the legislature. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Cooper, Johnson, and Scott, excused, Senator Hastert, Senator Case, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The report's back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill? You've heard the reading of the bill? What's your pleasure, Senator Case?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation from on Senate File 42. I'd like to yield to the one of the chairmen of the committee, Select Committee on Local Government Financing, Senator Schiffer.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, what this bill does, Senate File 42, it reauthorizes the Select Committee on Local Government Financing, and it limits the area that that committee is supposed to deal with. That's over on page 3, starting on line 8. It selects a chairman, and then this committee shall investigate, develop, and recommend a workable statutory formula for the distribution of revenues to counties and also for the distribution of revenue to cities. That recommendation is then submitted to the governor and the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee by November of this year, 2009. The Appropriations Committee then can consider it and incorporate it in. Section 2 is the budget for the Select Committee to operate on. It's $20,000, so they can go ahead and have meetings. That's the extent of this. Mr. Chairman, you had a Select Committee that met quite often and worked diligently and sometimes even brilliantly, I might add, on this problem of local government finance. And it was we didn't get to this portion of it where we deal with a formula. Mr. Chairman, I recall during the last budget, when we got into the 300 series, the Senate looked at a set of distribution formulas, allocating money somewhere around that 400, and it was a fairly large number, I think around $430 million. I'll speak for myself, that set of four formulas were very complex. It was hard to figure out exactly where money was going and why it was going there. The idea behind this is to give a workable formula, and there's many ways to do it, so that whatever the amount of monies, call it $430 million, I think it was $430 million in that one amendment, how it's going to be divided up that meets the needs of the legislature and the needs of cities and counties. What we found in discussion with these folks, counties, it isn't too tough. In great part, it's because there's 23 of them. It's a smaller number of entities. The needs are, they can come to consensus quite a bit easier. Cities, it's much more difficult. You've got a wealth disparity. You've got a size disparity. And there's cities scattered all over the state, obviously. So it's a little more difficult, but I think it can be done. What this does is allow that committee to go ahead and design that formula. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions.
Discussion, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think the reason for this is a very good one, and it's a very important issue. My question is, obviously this could happen anyway with the President of the Senate doing this, and why do we need it in statute form? And maybe it's because you want the appropriation. But then if that's the case, do you want to sunset it? I don't see a sunset in there. Do you want this to be an ongoing thing, or is it for a two-year cycle to deal specifically with the issues that you brought up? And if that's the case, maybe you want to sunset it, unless I'm missing somewhere.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, while it isn't exactly sunsetted, the money runs out on June 30th, 2010, and with the quality of work you're getting from this select committee that the President's going to appoint, I don't think they'll work without getting paid. So I think there's an effective sunset.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and for the bill, I would say that I have five small towns within my district, and almost universally, the first thing they told me is that they would like to see this committee move forward and do and continue to work out some of the things that have been described by the good chairman. So I would urge your favorable support of this bill.
Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File 42, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 42 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next Senate file up for consideration is Senate File 58. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File Number 58, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Vehicle Title and Registration, an act relating to vehicle title and registration. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Von Fladern?
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask that they do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 58. There are some amendments we'll wait to after the explanation of the bill. And to explain this fine bill is Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I come to you without restraint in representation of the Transportation Committee, and hopefully to represent adequately a lot of work that was done during the interim by a very dedicated group of folks. As you can see, Senate File 58 affects two Wyoming statutes, title and registration sections. Before I get into the bill, I would call your attention to a handout that hopefully you received in your credenza. And the Department of Transportation, our clerks and treasurers, did a great job of working with us to provide for you a blow-by-blow description of what took place in terms of some rewrites and some efforts to make these statutes more consistent and more concise. I would also like to recognize the effort specifically of that group to whom I have referred. Representatives comprised of our Wyoming County clerks and our county treasurers, Department of Transportation officials, along with the Automobile Dealers Association, the Truckers Association, the Wyoming Highway Department, met essentially to discuss mutual items of interest. And what really initiated this entire effort was the fact that the reports of difficulty that people were finding out across the state in getting titles in a consistent way. Well, much the same as would happen in a project at your house, and I know that we have all run into this, you begin to remodel a closet, and you discover that you've got to rewire once you tear out a little bit of sheetrock, and then you discover that on the wall behind where you tore out the wiring, you just broke loose the shower stall in the other room, and that's exactly what happened to this group. Let me first of all indicate to you, so you have a feeling for the representation on this ad hoc committee. I will not name them individually, but our county clerks were represented out of Crook, Fremont, Laramie, Natrona, Niobrara, and Park counties. Our county treasurers were represented by Converse County, Fremont County, Laramie County, Natrona, Niobrara, and Teton. And as I mentioned, the Automobile Dealers, the Trucking Association, Highway Patrol, And I specifically want to recognize the chairman of that group, Mr. Stauffacher, our chief investigator with compliance and investigation, his right-hand person, Ms. Bruckner, who were very helpful. With that as kind of an initial overview of what we're looking at with Senate File 58, I would like to, again, call your attention to the handout. And in the interest of getting out of here before 7 o'clock tonight, I've decided I will not go through this bill line by line for you, but I would refer to a few areas that I think are a little bit more substantial than simple rewrites of language and consolidation. When I talk about consolidation, by the way, that could mean something as simple as the fact that this committee ran into 10 different references of the fact that Wyoming has metal license plates. Obviously, we don't need that many references to things like that. So much of the efforts throughout Senate File 58 are in that neighborhood. If you look at the first item, page 5, lines 6 through 12, the first item on your handout, you will notice that is language that mirrors a Senate file that we have already sent forward, Senate File 57. I just wanted to point that out. If you move down, and again, I can back up and come to any provision that you'd like a little bit later, but if you go down to page 12, lines 9 through 15 in the bill, you'll notice that is a complete rewrite of the new language, or rather creates new language defining pickups. As we're all very much aware, automobiles these days have changed a great deal, and the committee had to wrestle with quite a few issues in regard to what the definition of a pickup is, what the definition of a truck is, et cetera, et cetera. I will not use a brand name, but there are some sport utility vehicles which can be transferred into becoming a pickup that you can go get a load of firewood with. That needs to be titled as a pickup now. Page 13, lines 9 through 22, if you'll move on down there. Changes in this particular section of the bill are intended to better define the terms related to resident. And I do want to clarify that, you know, please do not confuse the fact that this is to be used in any other of our Wyoming statutes. This is specifically for title and registration, and obviously the committee spent quite a bit of time on wrestling with who and who is not a resident. If you'll turn to page 15 and lines 6 through 12, I would simply point that out because that is the Senator Beabout provision, and we already realize that we've got a little work to do there. Same work that we did on Senate File 57 to better define, you know, what is to be excluded there. There is an amendment waiting there. If you, again, on your handout, if you go down to page 21, lines 7 through 11, this is a very important part of this bill, and I want to make sure that everyone knows that Section 5 on page 67 of this bill is the provision that grandfathers in the titles on watercraft and snowmobiles. Now, those two vehicles are going to be titled for the first time. Chances are you will get some questions about that. There are a lot of our Wyoming residents that have a dead sled in the backyard somewhere. The concern may come up that they don't know where the title is. They don't know where any of the paperwork is. That's okay. Those vehicles are grandfathered. They are not grandfathered when you sell that vehicle to somebody else. At that point, whoever you sell that vehicle to, you're going to need get some titling for that. I would point out that the State Parks and Recreation Department, the Game and Fish Department have signed off on this provision. They like it. They feel like it will make it a lot easier in terms of filing liens, and it may assist with the paperwork that they have to do with the Department of Transportation. If you turn to page 3, it's actually page 2. They're numbered a little wrong. I apologize for that. But on your handout, page 30 is another important part of this bill. And this is an area of the bill with in relation to bonding. I have to tell you that I come nowhere near the expertise that Mr. Stauffacher has on bonding. But I can tell you that in circumstances where there simply is no title, residents are going to have to do some things so that our treasurers and clerks can title those vehicles. That's one of the changes proposed in this bill, that some of our residents are simply going to have to do what it takes to get those vehicles titled. I would call your attention to the top of the page that is numbered page 4 on your handout. This language on line 7 through line 23, all the way through page 42, incorporates the current statutory language with new language that will increase the fee for temporary worker permit from a one-time fee of $35 for 90 days to $50, et cetera. That is an issue, again, that we have already visited about during this session. This pulls some consistency into this bill in relation to Senate File 57. I believe that is a quick and cursory overview, Mr. Chairman, of Senate File 58. Again, I hopefully represented some of the high points of the efforts that were put forth during the interim by a pretty dedicated group to pull together some very difficult provisions in this bill. I would stand for any questions.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a question going back to page 10, and you didn't mention this, but I think it's looks to me to be fairly substantial, changing the definition of factory price. Because now all vehicles will be based upon the manufacturer's suggested retail price, which, to my recollection, not many people pay. That would be part of it. And so I guess my question would be, is how much is that going to add to the taxes that people are going to have to pay when they go and license their cars? I would like to know that in advance before I start getting those angry phone calls from people when they go into relicense.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the question from the senator from Yuna County, and hopefully I can adequately answer. This was an effort on the part of the committee to bring in some consistency from county to county in terms of how those vehicles how factory price is determined. I would have to probably do a little bit more work on that, Senator, and get you an answer because that's as good as I can come up with. Is the word consistency is what they brought forth to me. So,
Senator Escobar.
Mr. Chairman, if I might hopefully be of some help, I believe my good colleague on the committee, as I recall, part of the problem the counties were having was that some of these automobiles were being valued using different types of pricing booklets, Blue Book, Kelley Book, and things of that nature. And I think what they were trying to do was to get some kind of consistent pricing mechanism rather than somebody using this and somebody using that and somebody, because apparently there's quite a few different books out there that have different prices for different vehicles, especially for antiques and special vehicles. Thank you.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I already had one of those angry phone calls, but it's that senator way back there in the corner's constituent. And when my dad told me that he really wasn't happy about the fact that he... little D, Mr. Chairman. He wasn't really happy about the fact that he went down, got a car, and really negotiated and got a really good deal, and then went down, and it was several $100 gap from what he paid for what he was taxed for. And this angry constituent of that guy back here in the back corner wanted to know, why isn't it any different than sales tax when you go buy something at the store, or when he bought his TV, it was off of the price that he paid for it. And this angry constituent that I kept referring to that guy back there, but he wouldn't call, kept saying, it's not fair that you make up a price, you charge me tax on it, when really I paid several $100 less. So I would ask my colleague from Casper look into that, and maybe we can work up some kind of an amendment so that I can get that guy back there's constituent off my case.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I cannot exactly answer the financial difference between striking the words 90%, which is what it does in the new language here. But what I can tell you in reference to making a good deal, well, there's many levels of making a good deal, and showing up with a 2009 three-quarter-ton crew cab four-wheel drive pickup and showing that you paid $18,000 is a really good deal. But there needs to be a standard around the state that says one of these nationally recognized price guides, and that was what they're attempting to do, is say you can grab the Kelly book or the Blue book, whichever, the three or four that are recognized, and get the factory price by the clerk or the treasurer instead of relying upon the good facets of human nature to give you the exact price that they paid.
There is a standing committee amendment. I'm sorry. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. Page 9, and we're requiring a proof of insurance in the vehicle. I don't have a problem with that. Is there any penalty if they do not or they can't find it? Second question, Mr. Chairman, is on page 16 under special equipment. And this would be where you would have a cab and chassis, and someone might put a welding truck on it. They might put a stake bed to haul hay, different things. And sometimes what the assessor is doing is taxing on the real property that particular welder. And now if we put this into the statute under the vehicle licensing and the registration fees, are they going to have to pay twice? Because, A, the assessor will assess it as real property and charge them a mill levy on that. And then also you're going to have it in the registration fee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And having run into that problem myself, if you have a special piece of equipment that is listed as property and has one of those machinery stickers, you get around that because you're paying tax on that. They can't include it in registration. It's already on the property rolls. And the only reason they put it in here is to put it on the property rolls to collect property tax at the time of registration, which is really 90% of your registration fees or local property tax. So in that case, not. Now, if it's something that you do not get a machinery sticker, mobile machinery sticker for, I'm really at loss of words to say that that would be different or not, or how you'd prove the actual value of it.
Senator Larson. Thank you, Senator Larson. I'm unable to ascertain in there, but I'd like to ask a question because it's been subject for a long time. Did the committee deal with the sales tax valuation? When you talk about the valuation, it's got to be the manufacturer's suggested retail price, similar to what the good center from Natrona County indicated. If you trade your vehicle into a dealer, they have been, and that's what I'm asking, able to give you credit for that. You did not have to pay sales tax on that part that you received for a trade-in. If you did not feel that the dealer gave you sufficient value for it and you turn around and tried to sell your car, to an ordinary citizen for a little more than the dealer might have been giving to you, they did have to pay sales tax on the same piece of equipment, thereby, I believe, giving a built-in advantage to an automobile dealer over you being able to sell your vehicle and get that same tax deduction, sales tax deduction, that you do when you trade it into a vehicle dealer. Did that ever come up? Has it been dealt with or changed? I was never able to do it in three or four tries, but is that part of the... this?
Senator Von Flatern.
Disadvantage of having your desk turned this way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope the Revenue Committee was really listening closely to your explanation, because I do believe in Teton County, as in most, that same problem exists, and that it would have to be taken care of in some other statutes and was not addressed at all in what we did in committee.
There's a standing committee amendment. The reading clerk will read the standing committee amendment.
Senate File 58, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 13, line 15.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Number 1 to Senate File 58 and ask that we dispense with further reading. This goes to page 13. It's a little cleanup. Page 13, line 15, and all it does is remove a comma to make that sentence read appropriately, and that should say any person except a full-time student at the University of Wyoming or a Wyoming Community College or a daily commuter. So we just remove the comma from that line to make that read correctly. Then it goes to page 38, line 11. This one, this particular section, subsection D, says nothing in this act shall prevent the buyer from voiding the sale if there is evidence that the buyer failed to receive the branded title. Branded title being one that says salvage on it, or in the case of Hurricane Katrina, a lot of cars were flooded, moved out of there, resold, cleaned up, and not truly the new owner was not told the true story of that particular vehicle. So it should have a branded title that said flood damage from the insurance company, bought from the insurance company, something of that nature. Because we have a 45-day temporary plate that you can get on a vehicle, this allows the person to wait that long. Well, if you had a 30-day waiting period, or if they go in there and get the title after 45 days, the old scenario, or as in line 9 says, shall be delivered to the seller not later than 30 days after the buyer first receives knowledge. Before you get in there, you'd be past your 30 days, which was in the old statutes, and you'd get your title and you'd look at it and say, wait a minute, they didn't tell me it came out of Hurricane Katrina and was flooded. You go back, you've passed over what is in other statutes, a 30-day period in which the title needs to be delivered. You're at 45 days because you wanted to use your template all the way to the end. What this says is that when you realize at the end of the 45 days, when you realize that it has a branded title and you think you were defrauded, that this amendment says this paragraph shall apply only if there's evidence that the seller knowingly failed to notify the buyer with the intent to defraud the buyer. So this is a little protection for the seller, I will tell you that, but it also should hopefully limit some of the lawsuits related to people that just really didn't like the vehicle they bought, have a lot of other complaints, and claim they were not told. So I ask for your favorable vote on Standing Committee Number 1 amendment.
Senator Von Flatern, would you like to move the amendment?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Chairman, I move.
You did?
Yeah, I thought I did it one time.
Any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 58, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 58 has passed Committee of the Whole. We're moving to Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
Senate File 58, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 51, line 20.
You've heard the reading of the amendment. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This goes to page 51, line 20. Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 58 and ask that we dispense with further reading. This goes to page 51, line 20. I was asked by a group of firefighters that the way the statute reads today, when they retire, when a firefighter retires, he basically has to hand in his license plates, according to the statute, because he's not an active firefighter. It's similar, I guess, turning in your sword when you leave the military in the old cavalry days. So what I've done here is that I've included on page 51 after line 21, after 35-9-601, insert, or a firefighter receiving or eligible to receive retirement pursuant to these Wyoming statutes shall be able to keep their, have a firefighter license plate. In the past, I can tell you that as long as you met the basic requirements of an active firefighter, which meant that you went to a certain amount of training, the local chiefs would sign you off as an active one so you kept your license plate. This just allows them to keep their license plate if they qualify for one of these many various retirement funds for volunteer firemen or full-time firemen. So I ask for your favorable vote on Committee of the Whole number 1 amendment.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to ask the Transportation Committee Chair, as I recall the discussion that we had with this to begin with, and similar license plates like this, it was kind of to identify these folks so that in case there was an emergency that they, you know, could be recognized with their vehicle if they were speeding down to the to get to the local volunteer fire department or whatever, that they could be identified. But now it seems like we're kind of going beyond that, way beyond that now, and we're having retired firefighters with these things and they're becoming more of the symbolizing something rather than to indicate that this is an emergency care person. And so I don't know. I just want to ask, that was that brought up in committee at all to the chairman, or was that just something that was not discussed, or are we actually changing the significance of these license plates now?
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is my own, was not brought up in committee. It's my own amendment in this case. But I can tell you that some people also view this as just that you've earned the license plate, National Guard, whatever. It's not to denote an emergency response person, especially in the case of a firefighter. It may denote it in a fire scenario, but the rest of the time they're just denoting that they're a volunteer of our community in the case of volunteer firefighters, or they're a full-timer. So you can analyze why we give certain plates out, but not all of them are given out to designate an emergency responder. So, no, there wasn't a discussion. I hadn't really thought about that. But in this case, I do believe that it is one that is earned and should be maintained by those people.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Two things. One, I'd like to thank the Transportation Committee for bringing a bill that makes the Anatomical Gift Act bill look pretty simple. On this question, too, ultimately, never mind, I'll just talk with him later.
Questions on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 58, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
I can't tell. Could I have a division, please? All those in favor of the amendment, please stand. My ears are failing. All those opposed, please stand.
Well,
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 58 has passed Committee of the Whole. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2.
Senate File 58, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2, page 5, line 10.
You've heard the reading of the Committee of the Whole Amendment. Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 58 and ask that we dispense with further reading. This is to conform with Senate File 57, which we just passed. It has to do with the rental car definitions. You go to page 5, line 10, delete by the person who rented the vehicle, go to page 5, line 12, and after Wyoming, insert for a continuous period of more than 14 days. We did that on the rental car legislation we just passed to allow somebody that rented a car that would not know about the fact that they should have either paid the rental agency should have paid a 4% surcharge for that contract, or they would have had to buy a work permit to be in our state. And so this allows them to operate for 14 days, at which time, if they're going to be in our state for over 14 days, they need to buy a work permit or rent a car in Wyoming, which is our hope. So we get at least the registration of the vehicle in Wyoming, or we get the 4% surcharge. It also goes to page 67, line 18, deletes the actual date of enactment from July 1, 2009, and inserts January 1 of 2010. DOT said that, yes, with all the changes we're making to get everybody up to speed at the county level and the documentation that may have to change, they'd like a little more time to implement this particular act. So those are the two changes made by Committee of the Whole Number 2 for Senate File 58, and I ask for your favorable vote.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor, Senator Von Platern's motion that to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 58, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 has passed Committee of the Whole. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3.
Senate File 58, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3, page 15, line 11.
You've heard the reading of the Committee of the Whole Amendment. What's your pleasure, Senator Bebop?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading, or Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 58, and ask that we further dispense with reading the amendment. And ladies, or members of the Senate, this is more cleanup, same as the amendment before it. It will make this bill consistent with Senate File 57. Under the you drive it definition, I would ask that you support this.
Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 58, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 has passed Committee of the Whole. Any further discussion on the bill? Having heard the question, all those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that when Committee of the Whole arises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 58, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 58 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 30, do pass. Senate File 13, do pass, amended. Senate File 53, do pass, amended. Senate File 36, do pass. Senate File 48, do pass, amended. Senate File 8, do pass, amended. Senate File 42, do pass. Senate File 58, do pass, amended. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Mr. Majority Floor Leaders, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 4, Education, meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock over here in S11 to continue the interesting work that the Education Committee does. Senate File 112, Archaic Price Regulation Repeal, and Senate File 120, Critical Access Hospitals Challenge Program.
Senator Geis.
Committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources. Tomorrow night upon adjournment, we're going to take up Senate File 68, the Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 67, Water Development Funding, Senate File 73, Gillette-Madison Pipeline Project, Senate File 31, Brucellosis Surveillance Program 2, and Senate File 10, Brucellosis Management Program, if time allows.
Senator Von Flavin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will be meeting at a different time, Friday, January 23rd at 15 minutes after noon recess, and I just wanted to let everybody remember that it has been changed to Friday, and it'll be Senate File 60, National Guard Youth Challenge, Senate File 63, text messages while driving prohibited, Senate File 65, cellular phone use prohibited while driving, Senate File 98, fines for speeding trucks.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Corporations, elections, and political subdivisions will continue the corporate saga that goes on and on this week as we continue to work Senate File 72 immediately upon adjournment. We'll also start working it again in the morning starting at 7 a.m. Hopefully we'll finish tomorrow, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Thursday, January 22nd, 30 minutes after the noon recess in S-16 to take up Senate File 105, Weed and Pest Control Districts, Unfair Competition, Senate File 83, Community College Property Tax Exemption, Senate File 80, Electrical Installation Exceptions, and Senate File 111, First Responder Retirement Contributions.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Friday at noon or 30 minutes after the noon recess, depending on time, in location S-18, right up there, to consider Senate File 101, Trona Utility Shot Fire Certification, Senate File 99, Career and Technical Training Grants, and Senate File 110, Designated Real Estate Agents.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, just to remind everybody for their appointment calendars, will meet at 20 minutes afternoon recess tomorrow in S-302, to take up State Butterfly, SF-16, and SF-11, State Parks Ranger Authority.
You've heard the motion that the Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Thursday, January 22nd. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. We are adjourned.